Good morning. Welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Chaf Hei, the 25th Perek of Shmuel Aleph. This is really a side story which is occurring while David is being pursued by Shaul HaMelech, but it's an interesting drama which unfolds and gives us some insight into how David's self-perception is, how he views himself in this whole structure of Parakim. We know that Shaul has just had this intimate conversation with David about how he recognizes that he's going to be king, and it is now that we enter into the next step. So we're told that Shmuel Hanavi passes away, and they bury him near his house in Ramah, and which you can actually go visit today, in the alleged site of where his kever is, and that's all Tanakh really says, that David returns to his place in Midbar Paran, which is in the south. We'll see the significance of this in just a moment. While this is happening, while David is living in the area of Carmel, down south, David Melech approaches a fellow whose name is Naval. This is going to be the focus of the parak, is David's interactions with Naval. So David approaches, and this fellow has 3,000 sheep, you know, and 1,000 goats. He's obviously a very rich fellow, not a very nice person, Tanakh tells us. But he's very, very rich, and he has a wife whose name is Avigail, and he is this Naval person is making a feast. He is for his shearers. It's the end of the shearing season. This is a big milestone in the cycle of shepherds, and he's making a feast. So David sends a delegation of 10 of his young men, and he sends them in a very nice way to Carmel. And he gives a blessing. Ata shalom, beischa shalom, v'chol asher l'cha shalom. There should be peace to you, your house, and everything you have, O Naval. And he says, look, I heard you are shearing your sheep, and I want you to know that we've been in the area of your shepherds. We've been in that same vicinity, and we've made sure that we didn't get rid of any of your, we didn't hurt or affect any of your shepherds in a negative way. And in fact, we protected them all the way through. So what we'd like you to do is please just give us a little bit of your feast to your servants and to your son, David, in a very humble way. The one Malin points out that he's actually asking on three accounts. He's saying, number one is we helped your shepherds, meaning to say we protected them from the other barbarians who might be around, and because we were in the locale. Also, we never took advantage of your property. And number three is just do us a chesed. Please, you know, we have a lot of men. We don't have any stipend supporting us. Please just do the right thing and help us. Rashi adds on that you're making the feast anyway, so just, you know, allow us to partake in it. Okay, that was his request. What does Naval say? Naval says very, very insultingly, he says, who's David? Who's Ben Yishai? Like what? You know, every time there's a rebellion, I'm going to support the underdog. What is this? And I'm going to use my well-earned, you know, meat, bread and wine and my people, and I'm going to give it to anybody. And he sends them out. They return to David. David Melech gets really upset. David says, "That's it. I'm going to." He mobilizes 400 people. And it leaves 200 behind. He's going to really go and wipe out the house of Naval for this. In the meantime, what happens is that while this is happening, one of the servants comes to Avigail, the wife of Naval, and says, "Avigail, quickly, this is what happened, and your husband really threw them out. We put ourselves in a very bad place by doing this. He was an Ishbaal, a evil man by doing this." So immediately, what Avigail does is she gets 200 loaves of bread and you know she gets flasks of wine and she gets sheep and you know she puts together an entire delegation and package, and she runs out with she sends us this ahead of her, and she runs out and she doesn't tell Naval, and she goes ahead and she goes in front and meets David, and she makes this in the meantime David HaMelech is busy preparing for this battle, and she meets him, and she very, very humbly makes a long request. She falls to his feet and she says, "Please listen, you know, don't listen to my husband. He's a ish b'li'ayel, he's a bad man." And she says the famous words which we use today, "Kishmo kenhu," like his name, he is such. Naval means disgrace. He's a disgraceful man. Don't take him seriously. Please, you know, don't place innocent blood on your name. And later on, she says the same thing. Don't let this be, you know, a mark on your on your uh, on your credit for the future. Just let him be. Here, I brought all this wine. You should take this and you should have peace. And don't spill innocent blood. And then you should remember your maidservant. So David HaMelech then says, you know, Brucha Atol Hashem. You really are, you're blessed. You saved your husband because I was this close to wiping out every person in his household, even Mashtin Bakir, which means any male in the household would have been killed in this operation. And, blessed are you. And he accepts her gift, and he moves off, and he does not attack Naval. So in the meantime, after this whole episode is happening, she returns home. And there's Naval at the feast, because the whole feast has happened that night. And there he is, very happily drinking, on the floor, drunk. She doesn't say anything to him. The next morning, she mentions what happened. And the Tanakh says this interesting word. It says that, Vayomos libo bekir bo, his heart dies in him. It was like a stone. Like he goes into some sort of semi-comatose state. And 10 days later, Hashem kills him. And he dies. In the meantime, David HaMelech hears about this. He sends a delegation, asks to marry Avigail. He's very impressed with Avigail's loyalty, her loyalty and thought and intellect. And he sends for her, and she comes with him, and she says, "Why? I'm the lowliest. I'll wash the feet of your servants," meaning she's very, very humble about this, and she goes with her five maidservants and goes and marries David. And the perek ends by saying that David also married a young lady called Ahinoam, from Yisrael, and in the meantime, Shaul has remarried Michal, David's first wife, to Palti ben Laish from Galim. This is the perek, a very long perek of 44 psukim. A few things to focus on as we look at this from a sort of more holistic perspective. And that is first of all, what's the impact of Shmuel's death at this point in time? Why do we need to know about this in order to read this perek? Number one, the Malbim points out, is because once Shmuel died, then it became known that Shmuel actually had anointed David. He wasn't going to tell in his lifetime for fear of death for himself, but after his death, his students revealed the fact that Shmuel had anointed David, which means that there's more danger above David's head, which is why David has to be so careful, and he needs the support of the local residents. That's one aspect of it. The Radak points out that it might be that we're told of the death of Shmuel for a very simple reason, and that is because in the end of yesterday's Perek, that's when Shaul recognizes David's being a king. And that was, in fact, one of the nevuahs that Shmuel had said. So the last of his nevuahs came to fruition in his lifetime before he passed away, and that was why it was necessary to be fit just then. In the meantime, why is Naval rejecting David's messengers? Isn't it just so easy just to invite them to the feast? It sounds like he is a very punitive kind of man. You know, in fact, the Chomas Anach quotes the Arizal, who says that the gematria of Belial is in fact related to the Gilgal of Bilam. It's Shnei Bilam is the gematria of Belial, two Bilam, meaning Bilam is a person who's clearly very interested in money, clearly very interested in himself. That's the same kind of person we're seeing here in Naval, and it's going to be his undoing. David feels very affronted about this. Why is David so affronted by this? So the Malbim says, well, David actually now has got the recognition of being a king, not just from Shmuel, but from Shaul himself. Shaul has recognized David as a king. And if you're a king, now David's going to start acting like a king, which is why there's two aspects of this perek where David acts like a king. Number one is he feels that a person rejecting him is not just a personal insult, but it's a national insult, which is why David HaMelech is taking this very seriously for the first time in his career. You are now insulting the king, not just David the young man. Similarly, that's why maybe at the end of the perek, David HaMelech is marrying a number of wives. That's also the actions of a king, not a regular passerby. This is these are examples of David HaMelech sort of taking the office in a more serious way over here. David HaMelech also feels that Naval should be indebted to him, like he saved the community of Keila. Similarly over here, he feels that Naval owes him this debt, which is irreprehensible for not having simple Hakaras Hatov. It is interesting that in the argument that Avigal makes to him, she uses the same argument that David HaMelech made in the last perek. David in the last perek says, "I don't want to be the vehicle of killing the Mashiach Hashem, of killing Shaul. Hashem will take care of his judgment. I'm not going to be the vehicle." So she says the same thing. You know, Hashem will take care of Naval. You don't be the vehicle. So she uses his own logic to him, which is why it resonates so much with Naval. Last point just to think about, and that is, how did Naval really die? What happened to him? Why did he have this sort of heart attack the next day when Avigal tells him that this is all happening? So some of the Farshim said, the Rabbi points out one opinion, is that he's really scared of David. He believes that David will seek reprisal, even though Avigal managed to push him off. But most of the Mepharshim don't say that. Most of the Mepharshim say, you know why it was that David HaMelech, that Naval had this heart attack and went into this comatose state? Very simple. Is he was so upset about all the food that she had to get, went and sent David. He was so upset that he lost all his property. Now, mind you, in the night before at his feast, he was drunk on the floor. Why? Because he didn't even notice the food which was missing. But it was so affected. I mean, his persona was so identified with his belongings that when he lost a little bit of them, that was such a shock to him. And he sits there in a comatose state for 10 days and dies. Rashi closes with a comment that these 10 days of Aser Simei Tshuva, this was Erev Rosh Hashanah going into Rosh Hashanah. When a person does not have the access to Aser Simei Tshuva, woe upon them, Rachman Litzon, says Rashi. He didn't have a chance to do the Tshuva because Hashem took it away from him, where a person, Kishmoken, who a person who has a disgrace to this. This also leads us into a self-reflection of David's newly arrived state of being a king and how he acts under that particular, under this new level of kingship. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.